I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. And no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. My brothers and my sisters, I ask that you would join me in a word of prayer as we share on the sermon subject, There is no upgrade without you, the remix. There is no upgrade without you, the remix. Let us look to the Lord. God, in Jesus' name, we thank you and we're grateful. Thank you, God, for your hand and your glory. Now, God, grab a hold of me and use me to your honor, to your glory. God, let me, God, tap into all that you are as I share this word with your people. And I believe in the name, Lord Jesus, that life shall be changed, the sick get healed, the bound get delivered, God, the lame walk, God, the mute to talk, God, and those who are not saved to get saved. And we'll be sure to give your name the honor, the praise, and the glory, for you alone are worthy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen there. Is no upgrade without you. The remix. My brothers and my sisters, very interesting thing, intellectual property. It's a very interesting thing, intellectual property, because when you're dealing with intellectual property, it means that you must acknowledge when you jacked somebody. Amen. I don't know about you all, but back in the day, it used to be a song called Jacking for Beats. I got a witness in the house today. Sometimes, every now and then, I must admit, as your pastor, that sometimes I'll jack an idea, a concept from somebody. And it's important for me to be able to acknowledge that as I'm having this conversation so that I'm not acting as if it was my own thought, but I am sharing about the intellectual property of someone else. And so the truth be told, if you were at 8 o'clock service or if you streamed 8 o'clock service or if you go back and look at 8 o'clock service, my sermon title is its sermon title, amen? The Reverend Bill preached a sermon at 8 o'clock service, There is no upgrade without you. And I must admit that I was only blessed to be able to catch the end of it, but I knew the title he was doing on yesterday. And I realized as I was looking at and trying to figure out and trying to work through what the title was going to be for my sermon, I realized it was going to be the same one as his sermon. Amen? But I learned something from Diddy. Amen, somebody. At the time that you are taking an original, amen, and using it for your own kind of thing, all you got to do is say what? The remix. Amen, somebody. So thank you, Reverend Bill. Thank you, Reverend Bill, for I have given you props for your intellectual property on today. But this sermon is There is no upgrade without you, the remix. Amen. It's an interesting thing. As we've been talking about upgrade, I was praying, and God shared with me that I needed to make sure that as we're talking about this being the upgrade decade, as we're talking about 2020 for Community of Hope being the upgrade decade, that I had to make sure that you all were understanding God's concept of upgrade. Because one of the challenges is if we stay totally in a worldly mindset of upgrade, then you can get caught up in the fact that you think upgrade is about stuff. But the reality is that upgrade, and the way we are talking about this being the upgrade decade, is not necessarily about what you get, but who you become. The upgrade is not, you see, you can get stuff and not become something and lose everything you got. Amen, somebody? That God can give you promotion, but if you have not shifted on the inside with some of your bad ways of dealing with money, then you will have more money and create more bills and be more broke after God blessed you than before God blessed you. Amen? And so that's not an upgrade. That's just foolishness. Amen? But I've come by to talk to somebody because God, from this upgrade, upgrade decade is saying that the big part of the upgrade is you. The truth be told, that's why the title says, there is no upgrade without you. Not just in the spelling, but in the way it's laid out, there is no upgrade without what? You. That if you look, the upgrade is not about possessions, but it's about purpose. It's not about treasures, but it's about your trajectory. The upgrade is not about you getting better stuff, but you becoming a better you. There is no upgrade without you. And so as I sit here and as we're in the midst of celebrating this Dr. King weekend, there's a speech that Dr. King gave on December the 3rd, 1956 at the Holt Street Baptist Church in Montgomery, Alabama. He was speaking to the Montgomery Improvement Association at one of their events. And Dr. King said, we must set out to do a good job, irrespective of race, and do it so well that nobody could do it better. That whatever your life's work is, do it well. That even if it does not fall in the category of one of the so-called big professions, do it well. As one college president said, a man should do his job so well that the living, the dead, and the unborn could do it no better. That if it falls your lot to be a street sweeper, sweep streets like Michelangelo painted pictures, like Shakespeare wrote poetry, like Beethoven composed music, sweep streets so well that all the host of heaven and earth will have to pause and say, here lived a great street sweeper who swept his job well. That if you can't be a pine on the top of a hill, be a scrub in the valley, but be the best little scrub on the side of the hill. Be a bush if you can't be a tree. If you can't be a highway, just be a trail. If you can't be the sun, be a star. It isn't by the size that you win or you fail. Be the best of whatever you are. And my brothers and sisters, I've come by today to talk to you a little bit about in this upgrade decade, there is no upgrade without you. And if you don't get better, we can't be better. And if you don't get better, then it does not matter what you get. It does not matter what you attain. If you don't become better, then God can't get what God needs to get in this season. Have I got a witness in the house today? And so as we're looking at this upgrade decade, it takes us to our text here in Jesus' final discourse as he's having his last conversation with his disciples, and you find that Jesus talks about being the true vine and talks about his Father being the gardener. And it's in this scripture we hear these words, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, then you can ask whatever you will and it shall be given unto you. One of the first things you've got to understand, if you understand there's no upgrade without you, is you've got to understand there's a difference between pruning and trimming. There's a difference between pruning and trimming. I knew I wasn't going to get no shouts because y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. You got to understand that one of my degrees in an undergrad was in agricultural resource economics. In other words, I had to take all kinds of stuff, agricultural classes, agribusiness classes. And one of the things that they taught us was the necessity to prune fruitful trees. That if you have a fruit tree, that oftentimes what you will do, or if Jesus is talking about here, he's talking about in a wine garden, if you have a grape, a vine, what you will find out is that you need to prune some of the things off of the tree. Now, what does it mean to prune? To prune means to cut off some of the dead growth that's happening so that better growth can be able to happen. Let me help you here. I always wondered why in the world would you be cutting a tree, cutting a vine in order for it to grow bigger? I did not understand. But what happens is that you've got to understand if you have the trunk of the tree or the vine, the heart of the vine, that is where all of the nutrition is, and it pushes out the nutrition, it pushes out the water and the nutrition that soaks up from its roots from the soil, it pushes out that growth energy out into the branches. Are y'all with me today? The vine pushes its growth energy, the moisture, the energy to grow the life into the branches. But what can happen sometimes is on the edge of the branches, you can have pieces that are dying. And the pieces that are dying, if you don't cut them off, the energy will still be getting pushed to dying stuff. Oh, I thought I just said something to somebody. The reason that you prune a tree, the reason that you prune of something to be fruitful is because if you don't cut off the dying areas, then the dying areas will still be pulling energy, Lord have mercy, that can be going to the living stuff. And I'm trying to help somebody in the house today because you upset because God's been pruning some stuff. You think it's cutting, but God's been cutting some dying stuff out of your life. Huh? because it's taking too much of your energy. Have I got anybody in the house today that just resonated with you, that just jumped up in you, that when you look at your life, you realize you're giving too much energy to dying stuff, to dying folks, to dying situations, and it's taking the life up out of you? Is there anybody in the house today that you've ever been excited on a day and you walked up into a conversation and by the time you got finished, you felt worse than when you came? It's because you gave good energy, Lord have mercy, to dying stuff. But I've come by to tell somebody, sometimes God's got to cut some stuff. But what gets me, Reverend Bill, is you got to understand the difference between pruning and trimming. Because oftentimes we'll sit here and we'll act like we about to grow. And we'll talk about how God is cutting stuff. Y'all know how folks get the beginning of the year all over Instagram. No new friends. Y'all know what I'm talking about. That everybody want to talk about everybody they cutting off. When the truth be told, they may be the one that need to get cut off. And so I found out, Reverend Bill, that pruning and trimming are two different things. See, I thought they were the same thing, because both of them having you cut or the vine or cut the tree. But what you've got to understand is you prune things that can be fruitful, but you trim stuff that ain't got no fruit. In other words, you prune an apple tree, but you trim a hedge, because trimming is about how it looks, but pruning is about getting it to grow. And somebody up in here, you've called yourself cutting some stuff off, but you're just doing it for the looks of things, but you ain't doing it for the growth of nothing. But if I got anybody in here that, baby, I'm doing it because I've got to grow. I've got to. Difference between pruning and trimming, but the second thing that you've got to remember the source. Turn to your neighbor and say, remember the source. Remember the source. Remember the source. Scripture says that no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Lord, have mercy. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. But apart from me, that you can do nothing. One of the things that I've learned along my journey in life is I have learned that whenever I get to points in my life, and everybody will get to these points, whenever I get to seasons in my life, and everybody will get to these seasons, in which I feel a bit barren, in which I feel a bit tired, in which I feel like I'm dying on the inside, in which I feel like I have no energy, in which I feel worn down, I've got to ask myself the question, how is my relationship with the source? You see, it's crazy for a branch to think that it's the thing that grows the fruit. But you've got to understand, it's not the branch, but the branch has to stay connected to the vine. The branch has to stay connected to the source. And the challenge for too many of us is we end up distancing ourselves from this. Have I got anybody in here that's honest enough to admit that there are times in your life in which you've fallen back further from God than you need to fall from God? I'm your pastor, and I can tell you there are seasons in my life in which I feel worn out, and I have nothing to give. And as much as I try, I'm not bearing any fruit. And it's in seasons like that I have to ask myself, well, how's your prayer life? I have to ask myself, well, how's your study life? I have to ask myself, well, how's your devotional life? I have to ask myself, how close are you with the Lord? Because I don't know about you, but sometimes life can wear at you, and you find yourself, when you should be up on God like this, backed away from God like this, and you're still trying to be as fruitful as you used to be, but you don't got no power. But it's in times like that that I say, Father, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help I know. Nearer, my God, to thee. Nearer to thee. I've got to get a little closer to the Lord. Is there anybody in the house today that knows every now and then you've got to check yourself before you wreck yourself and get yourself back in line with the Lord? I don't know about you, but that's when you have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about your troubles, and I promise you he'll hear your faintest cry.
an answer. By and by, somebody give God glory in the house today. Somebody give God praise in the house today. You just want to be a little closer. If I could just get a little closer. I know y'all come to church on Sunday because it's the thing you're supposed to do. I come to church on Sunday because it's the thing I have to do. Because for all that I'm going through in my life, I can't make it by myself. There is no other way without you. Have I got a witness in the house today? God, I can't do it by myself.
But the third thing, when I'm out of here, the third thing, and you've got to understand, turn to your neighbor and say, it's whatever. Turn to somebody and say, it's whatever. Watch this. Growing up, I must admit, Reverend Bill, I stole your sermon title, and I must admit that some of it can go all the way back to when we were young. Because I must admit there were seasons along my journey when we were young that I was a hater. Amen, somebody. I was a hater on my brother. Amen. I loved my brother. I always wanted the best for him. But I realized that there were things he could get from my parents I couldn't get. There were things he could ask for that I just couldn't get. I could ask for the same thing, but he would get it and I wouldn't get it. And I would sit and reflect, why can he get it and I not get it? Why can he get it and I not get it? Why when he asks, do they say yes? And when I ask, they say no. But I realized when I looked at scriptures, because of the way the scripture is, because the Bible says that if you remain in me and my words remain in you, that you can ask whatever you wish, and it will be given, what? Unto you. What happens, and what I learned about that scripture that helped me to understand my situation with Reverend Bill and my parents was that Reverend Bill could ask whatever he wished, and it would be given unto him. I could ask whatever I wish, and I would get a side eye. I thought it was about the asking, but you've got to understand it's about the remaining. You see, the Bible says if you remain in me, Lord have mercy, and my word remains in you. In other words, if you stay connected to the vine. In other words, if you do things my way. In other words, if you stay plugged into my word, then whatever you ask, turn to your neighbor and say, it's whatever. It's whatever. I don't care what you need. It's whatever. My problem is I wanted to bless it, but didn't want to do the work. I wanted to get a yes, but I would get bad grades. I wanted to get a yes, but I was always in trouble. I wanted to get a yes, but I was always disobedient. But Reverend Bill been making the honor roll since preschool. Reverend Bill used to get the honor roll in naps. Reverend Bill used to get the honor roll in lunch. Reverend Bill used to make the honor roll in recess. He made the honor roll, and he would do whatever they asked because he understood if I do right by them, they'll do right by me. Have I got somebody in the house today? You wondering why your prayer life seems so flat? Your prayer life is flat, not because God don't want to answer it, but because you won't go by the rules. The rules say if you remain in me, if you abide in me and my word. That's why we got you being study strong. Because some of you come to church, but ain't no word remain in you. Word remain in you means that whenever you need it, you can access it. It's in you. Turn to your neighbor and say, baby, it's in me. I only got 9 scriptures right now, but that's 9 more than I had last year. It's in me because I'm study strong. And the word of God says,
says, it's whatever. If you remain in God and God's word remains in you, then whatever you wish shall be given unto you. I wish I had somebody in here that could give God it's whatever praise. Whatever I need in my life, whatever I ask for my family, whatever I ask for my job, whatever I ask for my church, whatever I ask for my community, whatever I wish, it shall be given unto me. Have I got anybody in here that I'm going to remain in God? I'm going to remain in God's word. I'm going to let his word remain in me. And it's whatever. It's whatever. What's up? What's up? What's up? It's whatever. Whatever I wish. Whatever I need. Whatever my issue. God will work it out. Somebody give God an it's whatever praise. Somebody give God an it's whatever shout. Somebody give God an it's whatever thank you. I wish I had a church that would shout, what's up, what's up, what's up. It's whatever. It's whatever in my family. It's whatever in my finances. It's whatever.
Won't you stand all over the church, all that are able? Somebody shout, it's whatever. There's no upgrade without you. That sounds like a song. There's no upgrade, watch this. Without you, there's no upgrade without you. Whew. That's a song. Sound like an old R&B song. It's no upgrade without you. It's no upgrade, and then they sing it a little higher. Without you. Ah, yeah. It's no upgrade without you. It's no upgrade without you. Ay, 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 ay. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I knew I heard it. Somebody give Raphael a mic. Without you. Yeah, yeah. Without you. Without you. Amen, amen, amen. Coming to a mixtape near you. I told y'all this is the remix. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look, standing all over the church. It's no upgrade without you. It's no upgrade without you. Stop getting so frustrated about where you are and just be the best you where you are. That's what Dr. King was talking about. That whatever you do, be the best right where you are and watch God shift you to where God has for you to be. Have I got a witness in the house today? Do you believe? This is the upgrade decade season for your upgrade. If you're in the house today and you're not saved or you need a church home, today is the day for you.